What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik Nier.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a diehard Simpsons podcast. 2 seconds that lasted. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Yeah. Just before we started, you were like, now at some point my voice may go. Yeah. It went during the intro.
I tell you, we're recording here on a Thursday and we're supposed to do a Tuesday in Stude and I had to voice message you very early in the morning.
You sounded terrible.
My voice was gone and people in work were like, are you okay? I'm like, fine, just here's what it was. I was out for a few pints on Saturday night.
Here we go.
With a few of our close friends of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Actually, four close friends. I'm sure they're all patrons. Even Gary, Richie, Jordo and Sean.
Hey.
We're sitting outside.
Sean asking about his t-shirt?
No.
He ordered one.
Yeah.
Sean, if you're listening, I haven't gotten under the stairs
yet. Oh my God. What? And he's paid already. Andy.
I told you. I told him not to order.
That doesn't mean we just keep their money. I
specifically told him.
Under the stairs.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Sean, I'll get it to you.
I'm going to text him tomorrow.
It's only the fact that I know Sean. It was just a random person.
Unbelievable. He's paying for it.
You'll get it.
Because you say
don't worry about it. Yeah. Nobody worry about it.
I worry about it. Please. Anyway, so there's a lot of talking loudly over people. We're sitting outside, and then Sunday I could hear my voice start to be a little more stretched, and then Monday even more stretched. Tuesday was actually a little bit better than Monday, but I was still in a bad way. Yeah. What do you got there?
It's the Monster Energy Ultra. Never drink it outside the pod.
Is it nice?
It's delicious. Do you want a taste?
No.
You pour it into your glass there?
No, I'm saving my glass. Speaking of, I'm saving it for...
Oh boy.
Thank God. Some branded content. We were very nicely sent a box of... Yeah, hold on. How do I get the label?
Look at us.
Box of beer. Andy, you know I love beer.
I do know that, yes. Now,
try not to spill this everywhere.
Please do. I work here.
Yeah. Oh, hear that pour, folks. From the Porterhouse. You know them. You love them. You've probably been in one of their numerous locations around Dublin. I am drinking... Oh, made a bit of a mess of that pour.
Oh, boy.
Porterhouse Brew Company Rambler Juicy Pale Ale. And I brought a Porterhouse Brew Company Hammer Pilsner for Andy.
Oh.
It's just a
fucking
bit of
beer.
Foam.
Fucking beer. Am I right? Oh.
You're really selling, like, how much?
To the Porterhouse.
I love beer. Andy,
I don't, but you know what? I'll give it an honest. It's a
Pilsner.
It's an honest, independent beer, and I'll give it an honest, independent critique, okay?
You should have said honest, independent try.
No, critique is what I said. I'm happy with what I said. I bet you I'll pour better than you.
Well, it's different. Different pour. Ale and Pilsner pour differently, pal.
That's way more than I even meant to pour.
I might finish it. Yeah. Anyway, cheers to the Porterhouse. My God,
that's
you're
nice.
Juicy. That's really nice.
That is nice.
Not dancing around my taste buds there.
I'm not quite as poetic as you, but it's nice.
Definitely. I would drink a lot of this. And I have some more at home to drink.
I would genuinely be happy if I ordered that
in a pub.
I got that, I'd be on that all night.
You're very picky about your beers.
I only like a very select few, to be honest. And I don't normally mess with all this crazy font beer.
Yeah, but like you would drink Coors or something like that.
Coors, Corona.
Yes. Like, sorry, Coors. I mean, unless Coors want to give us some free beers, then hey, I think it's...
I like Coors.
The devil's nectar. But I do not like Coors.
Yeah. I can handle.
But I need a lime.
Need a lime? The lime improves it, but you know.
Can't drink it otherwise. Piss.
Genuinely though, this is actually, I'm genuinely surprised that I actually enjoyed this.
I would have given them to you.
I'm driving.
Yeah, to bring home.
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't drink them at home.
You don't drink at home at all, though.
Never.
Now, see, my wife is going out tomorrow night, so I might crack open a few of these. They gave us for stout, for IPA, for juicy pale ale, and for the hammer Pilsner. I like the what would you call it, Andy? Here, the like the font, the display, the design. Like
the design, it's
pretty
great.
Good. Pretty
I like
good.
The crazy font. I like the colours.
Yours like gives off a real like ice cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the light blue. Yeah. Yours gives off a fun
fruity.
I'm so out of my wheelhouse here. But,
well, look, thank you, thank you nice. Very much to the Porterhouse.
We love it. Yeah, feel free to send us more things. We'll and anyone listening, really, feel free to send us anything. We'll try anything.
Absolutely.
Anything.
Cookies are always good.
Cookies, merch.
Yeah, merch.
Clothing.
Yeah, yeah, clothing.
Food, big time food. My brother gets a lot. The ones that I get most envious of.
Bar the PS5, of course.
Is
let's not speak about that.
No, is the food stuff. Oh, I got this thing from Just Eat. I got this box of chicken.
I will tell you about Just Eat. Okay,
go on.
I had a bit of a run in with not so much them, but one of the restaurants that was on Just Eat.
Was this the one that you were telling us about? Where
was I telling you about it in real life or like?
Yeah,
and Golden Grain. I'm putting them on blast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, putting them on blast. So I ordered off them at 8:00. It said it'd be here at 9:00. 9:15, no sign.
Already immediately unacceptable.
No sighting, you know. So I ring them up and I could hear them on the phone. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's gone out. Okay. Yeah, no problem. So it should be here in the next few minutes. Grand. 9:40.
It's gone out. Still nothing. I'd be fuming. Yeah, I'd be fuming.
I was starving.
And at that point, you're like, well, I've nothing cooked or I've nothing in. So
20 to 10 on the Friday night.
Oh,
I ran them back up. No, the delivery driver said he delivered that. Don't have it. And I was like, at this point, I just want to cancel it. Oh, I can't cancel it. You have to go through Just Eat. Now, I was fuming. So we got on the old little chat button there.
Mm-hmm.
And we ordered something else, even though we didn't really want to.
Yeah, you needed to eat something.
Needed to eat something, but also wanted to document. Like, why would I order a second meal if if it had been delivered?
Right.
Why would I order a second meal? I'm not running some kind of fucking con here, like. But then I got a missed call on the Monday from an odd number, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. It's one of those scam phone calls going, those robot calls. That's what I thought it was. And then I got same number the next day. And I was like, huh. And I just like typed into Google. It was like Just Eat headquarters or whatever. So I ran them back and
Don Just Eat himself called you?
Just Ean Eat. Much better.
That's what.
The girl, she couldn't have been nicer and was resolved.
Just Ean Eat. Sorry, go on.
Just Eat At would actually have been even better.
No, I like Eat. I like Eat better.
You know, the E at the end of Just Eat and the EAT.
Yeah, no, it flows. Yeah. Anyway,
they couldn't have been nicer.
Good.
Sorted me out straight away after that. But I tell you what, I will never be ordering from Golden Grain again.
Oh, big words.
Never, ever. And it wouldn't be my go-to Chinese. I just saw it was close. Literally, you know, a 10-minute drive away or whatever like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave the house because the baby was asleep upstairs and Faye was out. And, well, they're lucky I didn't go down to where they were and egg them. Put it that way.
Strong words.
Yeah,
I feel very similar with a similar takeaway in Arklow.
You're talking about this, the guy.
Marcellus. Free can.
They never bring you your sauce.
Update on the driver situation as well. Remember the pig parker who was parking in my spot?
Yeah.
Where I left him that second note the last time we podcasted. They haven't been back since.
Oh, Andy.
They're a bigger, badder man than I'll ever be. Now,
you're pathetic.
You mean he's still parking right next to the garage?
Not in the.
He's not encroaching.
Very good.
So, it's a she. And I actually seen her pulling in as I was out walking the dog. I didn't get a good look, but I caught the dog. I clocked the dog.
If they show up at the park.
Yeah, I'd know them by the dog. It's like going to the dog park. I know all the dogs' names. I don't know any of the humans' names.
You know the dogs' names?
Yeah. But I don't know any of the people's
Bozo,
names.
Come here.
Not you. The dog, Bozo.
B-O-Z-O.
You hung up on some dog from the 60s,
bro.
Speaking of Seinfeld references, that's something I've been watching this week, if you're asking.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
Haven't had the pleasure yet. I mean, it's so good.
It's so fresh. I have to say, it's so fresh.
But I heard there was some big controversy about the cropping again, that it was like, people were saying, like, the pothole episode, the pothole was cropped out of it.
Oh, really?
So you couldn't see it. Now, I don't know if you've come across it yet.
I'm on season 7. I started on 5.
Now, five is... It's hard. I went through a whole journey with Seinfeld before, and I was like, 4 is the best season. Then 5, like, is amazing. And then I was like, no, 6 is the best season. But the thing that always turns me off at 6 is the finale. And I've said this to you before.
The understudy. Yeah, I skipped that one, to be honest.
It like, on a weird...
There's no big hurrah.
Whereas, like, it was the end of the pilot, is the end of season 4. What's the opposite is end of season 5 is when, you know, George.
Yeah.
And then end of 6 is just the understudy. End of 7 is the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, like... So it just sticks. But, like, so many episodes in season 6 are, like... when they go to the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Like, there's an unreal run.
I was very picky and choosy because I was kind of...
I just let it all wash over you, man.
Yeah, see, because Kerry was like, you know, you pick whatever. So first I went on season 5. I went on to, like, the dinner party one where they're trying to get to the dinner party. Big fan of that one.
Really?
I love that one, yeah.
The cookie? The black and white cookie?
Yeah. But, like... Then she was even saying herself, it's not really the ones I was talking about. I was like, you're looking for the ones that are a bit brighter, a bit quicker. The seasons, the Andy Ackerman episodes.
You can tell, I was just going to say, you can tell when they swap directors.
Yeah.
That it's, and I remember thinking, because I was watching it when I was high, but I was like, is it just that I'm high, or is that like...
Super brighter.
Who's the original guy again?
Tom Sharonis.
Yeah, Sharonis. And it's like, they don't do nearly as many cuts. Like, they're not jumping around to different scenes, whatever. Each scene is, like, way longer.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
And it seems like they were only shot with... It was shot with, like, one light or something, man. You know, like, everything's so dark. I like it up to season maybe 4. And then 5, I feel like I wanted a bit more, like...
No, 5 is good.
You know, like, 6 is when they built the set, the outdoor set, the New York street that they walk up and down. So, like, that really added to it and, you know... But yeah, I found now I'm on 7 now, so...
No looking back now when you're...
No, can't go back now. I'll probably go back when I finish it, but, you know.
Like, a friend of the podcast, Brian Arnold, has never watched any... Like, he's watched Fits and Starts with me. He started from season 1. I was like, oof, brave man. He's loving it, but I was like, oof. My lord, I wouldn't even go season 1.
He'll be a better man by the end of it, but...
But it is, like... I don't know. Maybe you might say they plateau at 6 or 7. Like, that's their peak.
I'd say, 7, I'd say.
Yeah, probably. Like, and then 8 is still high, but it's a drop, and 9 is a drop. But they're still deadly. Like, better than anything else.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Like, better than any other. And I keep telling people working, they're like, never watched it. I'm like,
it's mad the amount of people who really don't.
Have never
either
seen it.
Either don't care for it or have never seen one episode.
Like, yeah, we were very much in the minority of, like, people in Ireland, in our group in Ireland anyway, of, like, Seinfeld heads. Like, that it was like, that's how me, you, and Andy Ryan bonded.
Basically,
over, over a sign day, you know? When we worked together, it was a sign day.
And that's what we called it.
Yeah.
And I seen an interview with Noel Gallagher recently for whatever reason, and I know you're going to shake your head, but he for his 50th went to see Jerry Seinfeld. Like, I would never have thought he was a fan, But he was
back
like,
on board.
Yeah, he's like, for me, the world is split into two people: the people who get him and the people who don't. The people who don't, I have no time for him. You know, I was like, and he's like, Liam and I was like, oh, it's rubbish. That show, it's rubbish, and all this.
But makes
like,
sense.
I didn't expect him to like it, but anyway, yeah.
Of the two, if you're going to tell me one and one, then yeah.
Yeah, you figure. Yeah. But it's been great. Yeah. I've been loving it.
So good.
Can I tell you what else I've been up to?
Sure.
Listening to a new podcast. I don't know if you heard that Seth Rogen has a new podcast out.
No.
It's very good. I can't even think of the name of it. Hang on, let me get it up here. But I was listening. The first episode was only there.
What's the premise?
Now, Terry. Thank you for asking. Hang on a sec. Let me just get the name.
I mean,
of it
I do.
You.
I was
it's called Story Time, right?
Okay.
Very well produced as well, if I may say.
I will generally go anywhere he goes.
Me too.
You know, like I like him. He's an affable guy.
Yeah,
I'm on his wavelength.
Wherever he is, I'm right there. Yeah.
I want to know. I don't want to hang out with him, but I have a feeling that like if I spent a day with him, I'd be a puddle on the ground because he'd be like, "Hey, you want to smoke
one,
a joint?"
One toke.
He's like, "Want to smoke a joint?" And like,
"Oh man, this is my one day with Seth Rogen, and I'm totally freaking out."
He's just constantly around the joke past me, like, "Oh no."
You make a joke and laugh, and no one else really does. I'm so uncomfortable here. That'd be me.
Yeah, but just hearing him and like the amount of like the tolerance he has for weed. I'm not gonna not smoke weed if I'm hanging out with him, but like,
of course,
I'd be again. Couldn't keep up with him. A gloop on the floor.
I think this one anyway was about like this comedian, and she was. Basically, she used to be a Jehovah's Witness, and she was really into comedy and loved Anchorman and all this, big into Paul Rudd. And so anyway, she wanted to leave the Jehovah's Witnesses and all this sort of stuff, and because no one else really got her love of comedy and all this. But then she saw Paul Rudd in a movie theater in Philadelphia, like empty. It was just her and her boyfriend and Paul Rudd and his bodyguard or something like that. And then so he...
Man, he has a bodyguard.
Well, that's why, because he called up, he's like, I don't even know anyone that size that she's describing. I don't know. I want to know who I was with. But like, so he and Paul Rudd is basically like super nice to her, and that was the thing that got her to leave the Jehovah's Witness and to go into comedy, and she's doing really well. So it was like a trail of like, then he called Paul Rudd didn't remember it, but he was like, but that's great and all this sort of stuff. I've always, and then so they start chatting about what made you be so nice and all this, and then he's like, oh, when I was in college there was this band
chatting to Paul Rudd.
Yeah, so oh, and then he's chatting to Paul Rudd, and then he's like, when I was in a band I followed this band called Trip Shakespeare, who a few of them went on to become Semisonic.
Really?
Closing Time fame.
Closing Time. Yeah,
and then they were so nice to him, like they dropped him home one night after a gig and all this. So then he called the guy from Semisonic and was like, what got you to, what made you, and it was like a trail of like who, like what made you be so nice to, you know it was brilliant.
I'm
though
subscribing right
hey,
now
hey
it was on Stitcher. I'm subscribing right now.
Episode 2 is out today, I think.
One of our friends Paul Egan used to always this. I'm dropping a lot of names already today.
First name and surname.
Yeah, he was always would say, because I had a team working for me in Australia, and he's like, I can just picture you and your team, and you be like Andy Bernard, being like, closing time, you know, when you're finishing up. Come on, guys,
100%.
We're going for beers. Yeah,
hang on a sec. Keep talking.
Story.
There,
I'm gonna just turn up your volume a little there.
Is it one word?
I think so.
Dead air.
I tell you what, while I'm talking, we were talking about PS5 and how I pivoted to the Switch. Well, I did it, Andy. I bought Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Hey, you played it yet?
Yes. I fit some time in. And not a lot of time, I'll be honest. All I've been doing, for people who have played it, is just been beating up a bunch of goblins around.
Okay.
I'm stuck on some plateau that I can't get off.
Seem to figure out.
I need to collect some stuff before some old geezer will give me a hand gliding thing that I can get off. But it is fucking dead. I could literally spend, it's just such an open world game a la Red Dead or whatever. I could spend a bunch of time just running around, trying to find caves or whatever, climbing shit. Like I climbed a mountain thinking I was getting to somewhere, and it was like up to the top of the mountain. It's like, it's too cold, your energy is going to start dropping. I'm like, well, if I can just make it to the point in the beacon, it's like, and then I died from hypothermia.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of silly deaths like that, considering I haven't come across any major baddies yet.
You've kind of been out of that frame of mind for so long, you know, like, I mean, that sort of game.
Last one was
much happier with those levels.
Red Dead 2 was the last one that was open world for me, and like that, I think that was maybe we had just decided around the Christmas time of, we were like, we're gonna start trying to have a baby. So
yeah,
so a year before Bonnie was born.
Yeah,
there was that, like, baby, like, I'm going to bed, do you want to play your game? And I would stay up till stupid o'clock playing it. But like,
and you know what? I did the exact same thing with Joni. And I remember thinking, like, at the
time, never going to get this again.
Yeah, yeah. I remember thinking, like, well, you know what? Like, I'm just going to, like, and not even like, should I be mentally preparing? Like, yeah, what am I going to do? What else am I going to be doing right now? Like, yeah, I'm not going to get this freedom, essentially, to play it again.
I'm sure it's come full circle for you now that, it, like, you know, because Joni sleeps through or whatever. Like that.
Now, like, I play with her, if anything, like, you know. It's great.
Yeah, and, yeah, I don't know. Like, I text a friend. I'm not going to say his name.
Say it.
I've already said his name. So if you know who he is from beforehand. But I was like, this game, I think, would really appeal to you because it's very much kind of giving you sort of Red Dead, also Final Fantasy vibes. Ooh. Or whatever. Like, because it's kind of weird that it's like the Zelda games that I'd always played were, you know, medieval stuff.
Yeah.
And this kind of is as well, but it's also like there's some sort of weird technology part that's never, it's like you have this, like, a tablet.
The fuck is this?
Yeah, it's like a tablet, but it's a stone tablet, and if you match the symbol on another stone tablet, some blue shit happens.
Okay.
And I'm like, ooh, it's kind of like retro future tech or whatever, and I'm right. Like, I'm here for it. I'm here for the change, man.
You're liking the Switch anyway.
Loving it, because we got Mario Kart, and then my nephew gave me a land of Donkey Kong Country. Ooh. Frozen Blast, I think. Very fun, you know. Okay. If you like a side scroller,
I do.
Yeah,
very much. Actually.
And Donkey Kong is a two-player, so you and Joni could play. You could be Funky Kong, she could be Cranky Kong.
You see, I keep. I'm still subscribed to the PS5 updates.
Yeah, me too. Like, I see.
I'm like, I would feel bad now if they're like, they're on sale here. I'm like, oh great, I got one. You know,
go
what
for
I mean?
It, man.
So yeah, I know.
I'll get mine when I get mine. I see Alan Wake is been remastered for the PS4.
One of my favorite games.
Never played it.
Ah, oh, it's like a movie.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
That, I mean, that's why I went. I was looking to buy Alan Wake originally, and they didn't have it, and then I bought Heavy Rain. Biggest mistake of my life. Heavy Rain, it started off so brilliant. I've talked about it on the podcast before. Started off so brilliantly. I was like, oh yeah, definitely into this. Like you say, like a movie type thing.
Yeah.
And then they do a fucking reversal reveal type thing 2/3 of the way through the game that renders one of the things you're doing with the characters obsolete. They're like, well, this makes all of the stuff I've been doing with this guy.
Well, fuck me
then.
Yeah,
exactly.
Huh?
Like, all right, I'll just bend over while you. Anyway.
Here, speaking of. Oh, that's not speaking of at all. the last time we were talking about Squid Game.
Hell yeah. Did you finish it?
Did I? What? Fucking amazing show. Now, I was so wrong, by the way, to start off with the English dubbed.
I told you.
I couldn't. Like, I was laughing.
You couldn't
at it.
Continue.
No, I couldn't continue.
So, I literally did. I had it on by accident. I didn't make it through the whole, what is the Squid Game? You know, the black and white.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop. And it was like some fucking stupid American.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. No, I did it. And I had it on by accident. I was like, maybe it'll be okay. Nope.
No.
You gotta go.
I was like,
even the subs, apparently, you're missing out on fucking so much if you're like a native Korean speaker.
I would say so, but I'd say it's one of those things that it's like they don't have certain words.
Step it up, Netflix.
Yeah, but I think if they try and be too, like, I'm fine with that. I think if they try and be too literal, it doesn't come
it's
out.
It's still pretty, like, if...
What a difference it made, though, but like, having the Korean.
If the subtitles, like, I thought the subtitles were great.
Yeah.
But, like, if the actual Korean is next level, well,
I'll learn Korean just to figure it out.
I told you, Andy. I told you, Korean, the best. They make the best movies.
I tell you now, if I had to say before, this is huge for Korea in my book, right?
I mean, Netflix's biggest show ever.
Is it
biggest launch show ever?
And I'm normally so
kicked the shit out of Bridgerton.
Good.
I mean, that was a fucking phenomenon.
Good.
Like, yeah.
But I was like,
you got something against sex, Andy?
There's a lot of sex in it.
Yeah, Bridgerton is raunchy.
Ooh. Oh, I did hear that actually. Yeah.
I had to.
You seen it?
The fairy watched all of it. I was flitting in and out. I'd be watching something on my laptop or whatever. Like,
now, let me ask you a question before you even continue.
Yeah.
When you're working away on your laptop and you sense a sex scene happening, are you conscious of just being like looking up at it? Do you try and hide it?
No,
a little bit?
I'll probably have a big smile on my face and look over it. But like, Faye will sort of like the main guy. Like, he's a handsome fellow, we'll mm-hmm. say. And, like, she'd be like, shoot me an eye, you know, raise the eyebrows or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, come on, you can't compare me to that guy.
Yeah. Let's check that out then, Bridgerton.
No, don't. It's terrible. Oh, it's you know what it is? Like, it's like period drama, yeah. But also, like, raunchy, you know?
Yeah.
For
something for the lads.
No, something for the ladies.
Is it?
It's something for the ladies. Lady ranch? Ladies to get off on.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of candles. And
I mean, we'll do an episode behind the paywall of the difference between lady ranch and men ranch.
You should.
Yeah. No. Fine. I would get very uncomfortable if we started delving into, especially if we're fine if we're not recording, but if we were recording, I would get very uncomfortable if people heard my views.
You get all
on
shy.
Pornography.
I'm happy to give my take on pornography anytime. If anyone wants to hit me up, actually no,
I've gone too far.
But yeah, Squid Game anyway. And I'm normally so, whenever people are like,
maybe we should do an episode on Squid Game.
I do one on Patreon. I'll hold my thoughts then. But normally whenever everyone's raving about something, it's you my natural back. Instinct to push back. But I'm so all over it.
I remember seeing
every
it.
Day I was like, I can't wait to see what happens in Squid Game tonight, you know.
So they'll be saying to Faye, she's like, I'm going to bed. She got to bed maybe about like 9. She's like, come to bed. I'm like, we've been an hour. Squid Game, I need to watch.
She didn't like it, did she not?
She missed the first episode, and then she was like, oh, I'll watch it again or whatever. And then I said I'd watch it again with her, but
yeah,
I wanted to finish it first before.
Yeah.
So, and she's not really in a rush to get to it. I'd say if I pushed it and said, do you want to watch it again?
Yeah.
She probably would.
Okay.
Your man is very good, though.
Brilliant.
I mean, a lot of the performances are.
You know what I thought was... Have you finished it?
I finished it. Yeah.
I thought one of the best scenes in it was, and I'll only say this, the Marble's
episode was.
But the two girls, like the two,
brilliant.
I thought that was probably one of the best scenes in the whole series. Like, and like,
I thought that whole episode, I was like, fucking hell! I was like, going to bed, I'm like, man,
son of a bitch,
took it out of me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a couple of times you're like, oh,
fucking knew it.
Yeah.
Fucking Sang-woo.
Have you watched anything else?
No, just been a lot of Seinfeld, a lot of Squid Game.
Speaking of Netflix, I watched The Guilty.
Oh, you
did.
The
new
did
Jake
you?
Gyllenhaal movie.
Good?
Good.
Shy then.
No, not shy. If you like Jake Gyllenhaal and you like him acting, because it's literally just him on screen for 90 minutes.
Okay.
He's like a 911 phone operator, but he's been demoted from, I guess they don't say if he's detective or if he's like a patrolman or whatever. He's maybe one of the guys that, you know, he's out in his car and he gets a call, go investigate, or there's a domestic disturbance or something like that.
Yeah.
He's under investigation for something. It's when the wildfires were happening in LA.
Yeah.
So he's taking a load of calls and he gets a call from a woman who's been like abducted. And then it's just not everything is what it seems.
Mm.
But he also like, he's having like an episode, or he has a lot of shit he needs to work through.
Right.
So it's him on the calls trying to solve this case or whatever, try and get it sorted.
What'd you give it?
I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. But if you like... Letterboxd.
Is that an apostrophe D?
Nope. Letter B-O-X-D.
Oh.
Letter okay. Boxed.
Okay. Is that an app? Can I
it's get, an app. It's a website. Your reviews? You can.
Do other people comment on your reviews?
I don't know if I have any followers on it yet.
Right.
But you can follow. It's on my Twitter bio. You can get you can get me on it there.
Do it right now. Keep talking.
So, you know. But I've basically been posting any movie I watch. I've just been giving it a star rating. I haven't been going into, you know.
You haven't been giving it the words?
Not yet. I have a project I'm going to be working on for all those Blu-rays I've been buying. So we watched. Well, look, I would say, if you like, it's 90 minutes. Jake Gyllenhaal doing some good acting. I don't know if it was what I was hoping it would be. But still pretty good. Still pretty good. And again, you know, if you're looking for something, you could do a lot worse.
I found you on Letterboxd.
No.
Yeah, your secret space has been infiltrated.
We recently watched A Quiet Place because it's the spooky season. And I bought it on Blu-ray.
Faye was only asking me.
Yeah, that's when we were watching it. She was like, I'm going to text Cantwell. Is he seen it? to see if I should watch it or whatever.
I was like, look, it is. It's
really, really fucking good.
Brilliant, isn't it?
It's not scary.
No.
But I know what you were saying. She'd be scared.
She'd be scared, yeah. I said, based on your predisposition to horrors, yeah. you'll be scared.
It's really fucking good. And that one, I have my Blu-rays broken into what I have watched and what I have not watched.
Okay.
And going forward, I think I'm going to be every time I watch a Blu-ray, I'm going to write a review about it on my Medium and put it up there for the world
Medium.
To see. Medium, it's blog.
What's that? I can't keep up with this. What are you talking about? What's Medium now? Where do I find this?
On Medium.com.
Medium?
Yeah.
Never heard of this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay. So that's my new project.
What secrets have you got?
That's going to be my new project. Great. Every Blu-ray I watch,
brilliant.
I'm going to write a review about it.
Brilliant.
There.
That's good.
But I love The Quiet Place, man. I thought it was fucking deadly.
Really good. Really good.
Major props to Krasinski.
I know, right? He wrote and directed it?
I think he must have, the way the credits go is screenplay is these two guys,
right,
and John Krasinski, and then it's story by these two guys. So they came up with the story.
Okay.
They had done the original screenplay. John Krasinski obviously threw a few bits in or rewrote it with them, whatever, yeah, like that. And he directed it, starred in it. I think from what I remember, how he got it over the line was getting Emily Blunt, his wife, who's a bigger movie star than him, to be in it. She's fucking great.
See, that's the difference as well, is that
he doesn't care, though.
Him and her, they're both, well, she's a great actor. He's a very good actor, I'd say. I'd say he's great.
But
it's well acted. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
The secret sauce to that movie is,
ooh,
that there's no fucking shitty dialogue.
Yeah.
There's no shitty dialogue.
Yeah.
And him even just being, because he's such a good actor with his eyes, because of years of being I don't know, you know.
Little comment.
Yeah. You know, but him being then giant, Bambi
big
eyes.
Big glistening eyes.
And I tell you what, that beard.
I know.
Fucking hell. He stuck. He pushed through to have that beard.
Did he?
Because it's not fake.
No.
But it's a fucking really big.
God, he's handsome.
I'm yeah, pretty much. That fucking string bean from The Office. And then I'm all right. You gotta give it to him. And I liked that the monsters in it. It wasn't we have to destroy the queen or whatever. It's just there's these wild animals.
We're not even going to try and fucking get to the bottom of this. Yeah. We're just going to try and survive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
I want to see the second one now. I know you went to see it there recently. Yeah. Is it as good as the first?
I thought it was better.
Really?
Personally. Because just throw in Cillian Murphy into the mix now.
I know. But I guess, you know what? He's earned my trust, Krasinski.
Yeah,
so
it was very
good on him
again. Now I don't know if it was just because it was the first movie I'd seen in a couple of years in the cinema,
but I'd say I actually regretted not, and I'd heard about it being
surprised it took you so long to see it.
Yeah, because I missed it in the cinema. I was in no rush,
right,
was my big thing, because I bought it on Blu-ray and then it was it appeared on Netflix and I was no, I have two ways to watch it, and I'm still and I think it's gone from Netflix now at this stage.
Yeah, but I think so.
I was just in no rush. And then I was I think we should watch something spooky tonight. So I said to Faye, I gave her the choices of the old, you know, the beach that makes you old.
Oh yeah.
And then I had on Blu-ray, I had A Quiet Place.
You know, there's going to be some trash dialogue in that as well.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Like, it's M. Night.
Oh, of course.
And then Mother, the Jennifer Lawrence movie. Mother. It's
I don't think I've seen that one.
Ed Harris is in it. Michelle Pfeiffer, Javier Bardem, Jennifer Lawrence. Directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Okay, you're losing me with every name here. I don't.
You know, Javier Bardem. No Country for Old Men.
Oh yeah, okay.
Call it.
Certainly wouldn't be. Oh, wouldn't man. Be running to a film to see Javier Bardem.
Well, I would. I mean, won the Oscar for.
I tell you, I put on The Lighthouse. Hold your gasp, Terry.
Ooh.
I put it on for about maybe 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
And I knew. No, we were putting it on late anyway.
Okay.
And I was
sabotaging yourself.
And I knew. I was like, I was only on 3 minutes. There was no dialogue yet, and I was just like, I was looking at Carrie like, let me move on. You know, it wasn't that sort of time of right. the night. You know what I mean?
I would say
we were in bed. We were already tired.
Yeah.
It was kind of we had about 20 minutes left in the tank.
This is a kind of you started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Movie. And I will tell you. I think it's only. An hour and a half, an hour and 40, something like that. Like,
that's what led me in, to be honest. Yeah.
So I would say give it another try. It is a very kind of weird atmospheric movie.
Yeah, I got that impression. Kerry was like, why does Willem Dafoe always do these movies?
Because he's an artiste.
And I knew going in, I was like, as soon as I started, I was like, this is going to be one of those, like, there mightn't be any talking for about 40 minutes or something. You know what I mean? One of those.
That's okay.
Is it okay, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it is if you've got the patience. You have the patience. Yeah. I don't have the patience.
Well, I have the love, Andy.
Yeah.
You tell me, Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. Hello.
Say no more.
Yeah, I'm in.
I went to the movies, actually, over the weekend. Adam's Family 2. Absolute garbage.
Who's playing Gomez?
Oscar Isaac.
What?
Your boy.
Maybe live action, I would like that, but.
I mean, we walked out of the first one when Joni was 4, and then we were like, oh, we'll go see Adam's Family 2. I was like,
why would you?
And then I
did Joni want to go see it? Like,
yeah, like there was a few of us going, like our cousins and all were going.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, so like I'm just happy to go to the cinema, to be honest. I don't mind. But and I was like, is that supposed to, like, wasn't the first one shite? And they were like, oh, the second one's supposed to be better or whatever. I was like, so bad.
Really?
So bad. I mean, like, it was okay.
Nick Kroll, I think, is Uncle
Fester. Of course.
Yeah.
Bill Hader, of course, is there.
Ooh, who's he? He's Lurch?
The bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, like, there were some good voices in it and stuff. I don't think I laughed once.
I listened to our top 5 performances that we released last week. And, you know, hearing us talk about Raul Julia as Gomez Adams,
yeah.
Big smile on my face. And then hearing that, like, they cast Luis Guzman as Gomez in the new Netflix show that Tim Burton is doing about Wednesday Adams.
Was that the one that I said? Oh, no, that was your pitch. I was thinking, didn't I suggest Luis Guzman for what's his name?
Gomez.
No. No, it was for your pitch for Border Town or Borders, like Luis Guzman. Excuse me.
I think he'd be a decent,
yeah,
kind of. You could see him being the kind of Gomez that, like, is full of sexy energy, even though he doesn't quite back it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I get the sexy energy from him.
Ah, yeah, I think you could. Like
Luis Guzman.
Yeah, like, as in, like, he's portraying this
weird, like a hornet's
nest.
Yeah,
but like a weird sexy energy, and because Morticia is so weird, I could see her giving it back.
A bit of more of a rapey energy.
Oh, can I say no? Oh, Andy, no.
Sorry, yeah. Luis.
I love him.
Okay,
you're gonna learn to love him. Let's just.
That sounds a little rapey itself, Terry. Anyway, I'm dropping some big words here. I'm gonna.
Okay, one last thing before. What are we at here, time wise? Like 50 minutes.
Jesus Christ!
What are we at?
46.
Okay, quickly watch the Sopranos movie, Many Saints of Newark. I really, really liked it. But I think it's because I'm a huge Sopranos fan that I'm like, oh, yeah. There he is. There's Paulie. There's Silvio.
They were in it, were they?
Yeah, they're all characters in
great.
It. Played by different people.
Different people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a younger. It's set in like the 60s.
Of course.
So it's like 67 and 71. It's kind of split over those 2 years.
Okay.
The guy from, you might remember him from Ant-Man as the villain. The baldy guy in Ant-Man. Corey Stoll. He was the guy, he had some sort of gun that made people into...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He plays Uncle Junior, and he's so good at playing Uncle Junior. Like, the mannerisms, even him being like, "Your sister's cunt!" Like, he gets that perfect. Like,
what kind of likeness is that?
Yeah, he's so good. But, like, there's so many, like, the Vera Farmiga, who you might remember from The Departed as the therapist in The Departed.
Don't remember The Departed, really.
I know.
I haven't seen it once.
Ooh, she's in The Conjuring. She's the wife in The Conjuring. No?
Sorry.
Oh my god.
How frustrating is this?
Vera Farmiga is big.
Vera Farmiga. Let me have a look here. Yeah. Vera.
Wow. And The Departed was her first movie as well. Like.
Farmiga.
Yeah.
Not Farmiga.
I said Farmiga.
Oh, yeah. I'd never get her.
Anyway, she plays Livia Soprano, Tony's mother.
Looks a bit like Edie Falco.
That's it. They make her look like Carmella to give more layers to Tony's weird edible shit.
Okay.
But she does such a good job being like, "Are you talking out of your hat?"
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that sort of, like, you're like, whoa, like, again, really, really good. But I don't know if it works as a movie on its own. If you've never seen The Sopranos. You're watching it and be like...
Can you watch it if you haven't seen The Sopranos? Like, is it made that way that it's a standalone thing? Or do you have to
know? It's made that way, but, like, there's loads of little, like...
You miss so much.
Yeah, like, little in-jokes that it's like... Like, it also starts with, like, narration from one of the characters from The Sopranos.
Right.
That, like, you're like, well, if I'd never seen The Sopranos, I don't know who this person is talking.
Right.
Like...
rating out of, what did you give it on Letterboxd?
I think I gave it 4 on Letterboxd, but I think I'm biased because I'm such a huge Sopranos fan. Like, I probably need to watch it again to get a bit more perspective. I will say the performance of Dickie Moltisanti, who is Christopher's father that you never see in the series, he's the main character in this,
right?
Is brilliant. I think he's really, really good. And Michael Gandolfini as young Tony Soprano,
is he good?
Yeah, he's really fucking good. It's actually eerie sometimes, like, how he gets the... He plays it way different, but also some of the mannerisms or just some of the looks he does, you're like, ooh, wow. Like, that's, like... Just that's like there's James Gandolfini. Like, you know, it's weird, but,
and
like,
is there a lot of mob shit that happens in it?
The whole thing is mob shit, like, really. It's, like, all to do with, like, turf wars and stuff like that. Like,
right up my alley, to be honest.
And then there's all stuff with... Gumars and all that other shit, like, as well. Like, so, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And I think it's... David Chase has always said it has to be under 2 hours, a movie. This movie...
Good.
What it should have been... Think... Because, like, when it ended, I was like, oh, I want more.
Series?
Like, like a limited series or something.
Yeah. I think
they still
mad.
Could do a limited series
it's
of, like, Tony Soprano in his 20s.
Yeah.
And have Michael Gandolfini play him.
A bit older, like...
Yeah. And apparently... They released it in the cinema with simultaneously on HBO Max. It made like $5 million in the cinema, but like loads of views.
Right.
People were like, why would I go to the cinema to watch The Sopranos when I could stay at home?
Yeah.
And watch it.
It's
and
mad.
Like,
that's the
meanwhile,
that's the
like
thing.
Venom made like fucking $91 million or something in its opening weekend.
That's good, right?
That's good for now. Like, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, probably would have made... I think it made more than the original Venom.
It's funny that you say that in terms of like immersive... Like, you wanted... What, like, you got like an under 2 hour movie and you wanted more. The next step up from that would be the series, which is more,
or
like,
another movie,
breathe.
Or another couple of movies.
Or I tell you what's the most immersive medium? Games.
No,
make a game. What better way to immerse yourself than you're playing the character?
No,
you know what
no,
I mean. Maybe
no,
not for this particular no. movie.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean. You don't get more immersive than game, and I think that's where they're gonna go more there.
Easier time getting to watch a TV series or a movie than I would to play a game.
Yeah, 100 hours playing this game.
Faye, you're gonna sit here and watch me play this? Like,
it's like I want to. It's like, what happens with Tony Soprano? Like, I just have to get these coins. Hang on, there's one here. I just can't reach it.
I gotta go beat the shit out of this guy so I can collect my money.
This is terrible.
Ray Liotta is in the movie as well.
Hey.
It's his best performance in years.
Oh, wow.
So good stuff.
Excellent.
Let's get to The Simpsons.
Let's do it. For the
second to last
time? Yeah. Holy shit.
For now. Yeah. For now.
Hold on. Let me get my script up. My notes. Okay. Terry, can we talk about The Simpsons, please? More specifically, Terry, can we talk about the 24th episode and penultimate of Season 8? Simpsons spin-off showcase.
Spin-off!
Written by David S. Cohen, Dan Graney and Steve Tompkins, with Ken Keeler coming up with the story and the general idea of intentionally bad writing.
Thank God that was in there.
What about the bad
writing?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Good. Good.
Directed by Neil Affleck, no relation to Ben, and Tim Conway, Gallard Sartain, and Phil Hartman. The producers were initially uneasy about the episode as they feared the purposely bad writing would be mistaken for actual bad writing. But it now appears on several lists of most popular Simpsons episodes. Creator Matt Groening was, you've guessed it, uneasy about the idea, feeling that it could be mistranslated as actually bad sitcom writing. He also did not like the idea of breaking the fourth wall and the concept of saying that The Simpsons were just actors on a television show.
But they've done that already. Matt Groening, with the 138 episodes, yeah. Spectacular. Like,
he strikes me as this great idea was either fell in his lap, and now he just seems to be trying to get in the way of it since then. You know what I mean? And I can say it. I'm saying it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what he's bringing to it, bar the initial characters.
He's bringing the licensing rights. These are trademark characters. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's like with Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant when they wrote The Office, and then getting serious checks. Residual executive producer money off the US office. Like, they weren't
showrunner. They're not Greg Daniels. Yeah. Do you know?
Do you know what episode they did write of the American one?
Give me what season?
3.
Oh, I do know. Fuck. I'm gonna kill myself when I hear it.
One of your biggest laughs.
Is it the prison mic one?
The convict episode, yeah. They wrote and directed that one. I'm not sure, but yeah. Okay, quickly moving on. It's got a Nielsen rating of 7. It should be. Yeah. Of 7.3. Mere peanuts, I think you'll agree. In the actual planned future for the show, Homer meets a green space alien named Osmodiar. This is a reference to
Kazoo,
the great Kazoo from the Flintstones. But apparently they were going to do something like that with Homer.
I'm glad they didn't. But when I was a kid, I was like, triplets.
I did think, you know? Like, when I was watching, like, oh, it's all this stuff coming next year. Like, oh, brilliant. You know?
But then, like, when it's like, damn straight true, I'm a man. You're like, okay. Like, wedding after wedding after wedding.
Apparently, Osmodiar was originally included in the script for an earlier episode, but was considered too ridiculous for the time. When the episode came along, the character seemed to fit the story and was included. Even though Keeler came up with the story, David Cohen, Dan Graney, and Steve Tompkins wrote the scripts for the three segments. Cohen wrote Chief Wiggum P.I., Graney wrote Love Maddox Grandpa, and Tompkins wrote The Simpsons Family Smile Time Variety Hour. But that's all I got, really.
Let's get into it. I want to talk about the framing device first.
Okay, go on.
You get your notes out there.
Okay, I got them.
I love the framing device.
As in the...
Troy McClure.
Yes.
Love it. I think it's so fucking good. And you can tell there's something going on with his voice here that, like, it doesn't seem like it's the real Phil Hartman.
It does seem a bit extra, or I don't know what it is.
Something is different. What is that? I don't know. Is it him himself? It is him, but like...
Yeah, but like, is it
oh,
in,
yeah, I'd say
in
I'd say probably what's going on in his personal life, maybe. Yeah, is some
bizarre rumours about his...
Sex life. No, I think that's probably the stuff going on with his wife.
Drugs, I think he was involved with for a while.
Yeah, like...
Hearsay, but yeah.
Yeah. Definitely 100% hearsay.
Yes.
And hairspray on this show. but like, just the you know, him walking through the hall of television and TV... And it's like, spin-off! Is there any word more thrilling to the human soul? Like, I'm Troy McClure, and you might remember me from spin-offs as Son of Sanford and Son, and After Mannix. You're like, the dead end.
The way he walks right to the dead end and turns around.
And like all the like the frame the spin-off pictures. Like
Laverne and Shirley these sort of stuff. Yeah,
the Jeffersons.
And then the whole thing of like...
They wanted 35 TV shows.
A month. It's like, that was a pretty daunting task. And the producers weren't up to it. So instead, I just love that.
Yeah.
The producers weren't up for it.
So then you get like, they're going to go into a gritty crime drama starring Springfield's beloved Chief Wiggum. Keep one eye open because his best friends, the Simpsons, might just pop in to wish him luck. Let's also wish him luck too.
I also like he's
good
so reading.
Good luck, Wiggum.
He's so reading that. Yeah. Like, let's also wish him luck. I have to say, off the bat, I get this episode more as an adult than I did as a kid.
I loved it as a kid, but I love it even more as an adult.
There was a lot more of like, you know, like the Simpsons stopping by. At first, I thought like, oh, that's weird they're there, but I didn't think like, oh, they're doing a thing.
Yeah,
like, you know,
that's it.
And I have to say, I love the Wiggum and Skinner dynamic. Mm. And I never thought that they would really go together.
Mm.
Nice.
The Hammer.
The Hammer. Good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
Very nice.
I'd be happy having a pint of that as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Like Wiggum in the convertible, like burn out, like real like Nash Bridges vibes. You're getting, like it's just so.
But the whole thing as well that like Wiggum's come there to clean up the town, right?
Yeah.
So, but like, is he on a police force there?
No, that's the whole thing. That it's like police business. Like, you're a private eye. Like. Yeah. But that's like, again, like how those shows blurred so many lines.
Right.
It was like, you're under arrest. I'm like, under what authority?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're a guy that's hired to fucking find out if somebody's cheating on their wife or whatever like that. Like, you know?
And he didn't come to New Orleans with any sort of like lead or any particular reason.
He came because he left the force because of massive corruption. Because of massive corruption.
Massive corruption.
Yeah. That's why I hired you, Skinny boy.
I love it. And then, like, based on purely what Skinner read in Parade, it's like, I read an article in Parade that said a guy called Big Daddy runs this town. And then straight away, he's like, Big Daddy, huh? Well, he won't feel so big. When, you know,
it's like, that, like, intentionally terrible writing.
Yeah, like, straight away, he's gone for, based on
nothing.
Skinner saying he's seen an article in Parade.
But even it's like, ah, New Orleans, the Big Easy, Sweet Lady Gumbo, Old Swampy. and Skinner again, like reminiscing. He's like, I grew up here in Nolans. You're like, did you? Oh yeah.
Okay.
Except for taking the sojourn as the, you know, elementary school principal.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then a year later, it's like capital city.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's great. Like, and the skull being thrown through the window.
Oh yeah. So before I arrest them for throwing skulls all over my floor.
And puts the pencils in the skull, and that was a good game.
Yeah. The next note I had, I don't know if I'm skipping, was the gator in the bed.
That's the next thing. Yeah. He's like,
I love that. It was a warning gator.
He's like, yeah, what a day. It's no cakewalk being a single parent juggling a career and family like so many juggling balls. True, I suppose. And then... oh no, actually I think we are skipping, because like that part was like him, just him and Ralph was there, and then it's the next day they're at Chef Paul Prudhomme's place, like, I guarantee. And then that's when they come with the parade thing, Big Daddy, and then that's when the gator comes
right
after that, where it's like, oh god.
like wrestling
him, and
this
like,
is just a warning gator, the next one won't be corked.
Yeah, and like Skinner like punching the shit out of the gator. Oh good.
Skinner
stuff.
He's either such a mama's boy, or he's actually like
killing
the hardest man in Springfield.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, he doesn't scare me. You don't scare me, Big Daddy. I'm three steps ahead of you. Like,
oh, Chief, your son has been kidnapped.
Oh, God! He's knocking it out of the park, like Wiggum's character.
They really go from, like, one end. He's like, I'm three steps ahead of you. Yeah. Like, the worst thing that could happen. Like, your son has been kidnapped. Yeah. Like, in that, like, few seconds.
The skull is there again, like, Big Daddy's trademark calling card. Right here inside the skull. It's like, looks like we got our first case ever, Skinny Boy. And this time, it's personal. Like,
the shredding guitar.
Yeah, like, so
it's really spot on.
I just love it. I love everything about this whole thing.
Yeah.
And like, Chief Wiggum, PI, we return. Right now.
Right now. Is this where he meets the Simpsons then?
Well, he has the phone. And he's like, now you listen up, mon ami, huh?
Love that voice. Listen good. Voice.
My name's Daddy. Charles Daddy. Big Daddy. What have you done with my boy, Daddy? Oh, the boy is fine. I taught him to play the spoons, and you just hear like the, like. And then he's like, yeah, it sounds like there's some kind of party going on in the background. This is a good joke. Never got it as a kid.
Of what?
The Mardi Gras. He's like, yeah. Is it known for parties around here, Skinny Boy? He's like, not really a party town, if I remember, but something called Marty something, and then they just like open up the windows.
I like the fact that like they go down and like the Simpsons like,
you know, like that thing, and like,
what are they doing,
and him
there
being like, not, we're not doing it justice, I don't think. We're just making a lot of noises here, but like they get it spot on that it's like, hey Chief, you know, like, why, it's my old friends from Springfield, the Simpsons. Yeah. What are you doing here?
And even like the fact that Lisa's like, he's like, I can't wait to hear what sexy, exciting adventures you're sure to have in this colorful backdrop.
And like, well, that's great. I love the chat, but my son's been kidnapped. You haven't seen him. And like Homer, who said nothing this whole time.
Yeah.
He's right there. And that's it, like.
Oh, my God.
So then it's like, look, Big Daddy, it's regular Daddy. It's the Chief. I must have flee. Oh, Lord, I wish I wasn't so fat.
That's such a great line. Lord have mercy, I wish I wasn't so fat.
Yeah. I suppose I best to run.
The shredding guitar, and then, like, the whole, like.
You know, like, it's so 80s. It's great.
Yeah, right? And then, like, the fan boat chase and all this sort of stuff. Like, yeah. Love the visual gag of Wiggum.
Yeah, the guy
thing up,
like,
and the guy just goes flying, like, really good. Like,
hang on, that the tongue in the fan boat. Like, I always remember, like, as a kid, being like, "Why does it sound so weird?" Yeah. Oh, okay, now you know, like,
hang on, that.
Yeah, and then it's like the house, like, it's the governor's mansion. It's been stolen for 6 weeks. Like, what are we doing?
And the way Big Daddy's running with Ralph, like, just under his arm.
Yeah. And when he runs onto the planks and they're, like, bouncing up and down.
The best, I think one of my favorite bits of the episode is when he's running with him and then he spins in his chair, like, and then spins back. Really,
welcome
slow
to my maison, Chief.
Trying to be so cool. Yeah. Like,
yo. Welcome to my maison, Chief. I've been expecting you.
Is that so, Big Daddy? Well, expect this. The arrest of you by me.
Monsieur, New Orleans is my town. Won't nobody gonna mess with me. I got interests, and I ain't talking about stamp collecting. Though I do find that extremely interesting.
Oh, yeah? Well, that makes two of us.
You know, boys, there's an old saying down on the bayou that,
He's gradually getting away, Chief.
Like, but that's like
it ends. It's like,
just, he just kind of jumps out the window.
He's like,
then
there's an old saying down on the bayou, bleh, and like throws Ralph at him and jumps out the window.
Like, that's it. He's just swimming away, and that's like, that's the end of
let
him.
Let him go. I have a feeling we'll meet every again, each and every week, always in more like sexy and exciting ways.
Like, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Better start eating, kid.
No, not like that.
Start eating.
And then he like freezes. Yeah. Like.
Really? You're off to a good start.
I'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to say it now, but I'll save it till the end. But yeah, a solid first one anyway.
And then you get Troy staring down the blouse of the Charlie's Angels, yeah. Which is also very good. So then they get even the way he asked the questions, he's like, could the Simpsons ever have maintained its popularity without Mo the bartender? Let's hope so, because Moe's leaving to do his own sitcom. But don't panic. He's taking a familiar sidekick with him. And his best friend Homer just might stop by to wish him luck. Let's take a peek. And it's like, just like, you get the establishing shot of Moe's and it's like, nah, nah, nah. You're like,
yeah.
It feels like supposed to be Cheers, yeah. I guess, something like that. You're like,
and the laughter track and all as well. Like, yeah.
He's like, well, I gotta go. I got a date with the lady in front of the drugstore who's always yelling things. She told me she was washing her hair tonight. Laugh track. Like, I love that they have the laugh track.
Yeah, and it really makes it like. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm so desperately lonely. Like, more, more laughter.
Yeah. Ah, quit your belly aching, you big loser.
Oh, brilliant.
And it's like Abe as
the
love tester.
Love the theme tune. Great songs in this episode. Yeah. I have to
love
say,
the theme tune.
While shopping for some cash, an old man passed away. He floated up toward heaven, but got lost along the way. Now he's the love medic grandpa.
It's like what, like Bewitched?
Bewitched, like, or Dream of Genie. Yeah, like that kind of. They're nailing it, I have to say.
They are
like,
nailing it, yeah. Love the song.
And then it's just. It really is like.
This is a lot quicker than I thought, this one.
Flies along.
It seems like it's about 4 minutes long, second one.
Like,
he's like, Moe's like failing in love. He's like, I wrote the book on love. He's like, yeah, all quiet on the Western Front. He's like, ooh. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sweet. I'm sweeter than Jewish wine. Then prove it. I wanted to charm the next young thing that walks through that door. Like, greetings. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it as a kid. Loved it now. Just even him, like, pulling at
when
the collars.
When would he ever come in?
Yeah,
like
pulling at the collars and, like, waiting for the crowd to stop laughing before he talks and all. Oh,
I
so
have to say,
good.
The line, kiss my dish rag, is one that is used quite a lot.
Was used
in
quite
every
a lot
day.
In Centre with us as well. Like, and he's like, Grandpa's like, it's me, son. I float out towards heaven, but got lost along the way. Dad, is that really you? Darn tootin', you lousy creep. You buried me naked and sold my suit to buy a ping pong table. What kind of son? He's like, call me when you get a karaoke machine. And then he's out the door. So good. But even Grandpa's like, that's the second time he's pulled the plug on me.
But the whole thing then, when your mum comes in,
Betty,
after the accident, Tress McNeil again knocking it out of the park.
Really good.
And the whole thing of, like, you know, she's had an accident. He's like, Tess, lady. And then he's like, it goes by how clammy your hands are. It's like, well, I could use a laugh after that accident.
Yeah. It's like so stupid. Like, love, Lord, you need man. Mo near now. Go near Mo. Go near Mo. I'd say that's a pretty strong endorsement. So how about you and me go out sometime? You know, out back? I mean, out to dinner at a fancy French restaurant?
Now, you know what he should have said there?
What?
Instead of when he says out back, he should have said, I mean to an outback steakhouse or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like that was right there.
What I love about that when she says, or when he says that, she's like, sounds great. And if this love test is as accurate as it looks, maybe we'll be having breakfast. She's gone from...
Yeah. She's had an accident,
like,
2 minutes ago.
And she's like, what? Like disgusted when he says out near back or go out back. And she's like immediately like dropping her pants. And then even like him, Grandpa being like, damn right, fact is I am in a kissing. It happened in World War. And like, Mo again, well, like, yeah, this guy.
The look, the camera. It's like that little, the eyebrow. Like.
Yeah. So good. And then having him again, like.
Putting the tux on him.
Yeah. And such a good touch of of something that's been done
in
fucking stupid sitcoms. So like
the fact that, like, he has a storm in the bathroom. One of my favorite lines of the whole episode is Avery's like, "I've suffered so long. Why can't I die?"
And I love it's like, "This is not the evening I envisioned." You know, like, romantic. Ain't sunshine pretty? Ain't flowers stupid? I gotcha.
Ain't flowers stupid.
And like the whole thing where he's like, "You know what's great about you, Betty, is you're letting your looks go gracefully, not all hung up on looking undesirable." And she's like, but even then she asks him a question. He's like, "I gotta go to the bathroom. I got the runs."
He's so, Grandpa's getting beat up by the bullies or whatever.
But even the whole, like, this is aged poorly. He's like, "It said I was gay."
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I remember thinking that was hilarious in 97 or whatever it was.
I love the little nod they have to 2001 A Space Odyssey, where he's like, they pick him up and he's like, "Daisy, Daisy."
Oh, is that from that?
That was, because I think that was the first thing, or one of the first things a computer learned how to say.
Oh, really?
Was that song. And like, when the computer's mind is being taken apart in that, like, it goes from being like, "What are you doing, Dave? Stop. I can't let you do that," to being like, "Daisy, Daisy." Great movie.
We should watch that. Did you ever, back in like 2000, did you ever have Bonzi Buddy on your computer?
What's like Bonzi Buddy?
Essentially, it's malware. But like, it was like this thing that you downloaded and you could type in this little purple, like Clippy or whatever that little thing was. And you could type in whatever and he'd say it and all this. But sometimes, like, he would just tell you a joke or whatever. And like, but he would sing, that was one of the songs he'd sing, "Daisy, Daisy." And he'd sing it like that, but like, it became like a running joke. Like whenever I get down to like Newman's, we'd always like be on the computer and be messing with Bonzi. And he'd always be like, he'd tell a joke and be like, "Sounds like you like my jokes, Andrew." It's like, "Did you know that I can do a lot more?" Blah, blah, blah. So it turned into like, "Why don't you give me your credit card detail?"
Oh, really? Like,
he would never do that, but that was just what we'd always embellish. So that we still use that joke to this day.
Very good.
"Why don't you give me your credit card?" But that was where I heard the song Daisy was from Bonzi Buddy.
I remember listening to something on the radio about it. Like, that's how I heard it was one of the first things that they programmed the computer to say, and that's why it makes sense, because it was like 71, I think,
right,
when it was 2001 A Space Odyssey, and it was in the 60s that was the thing. But I mean, 2001 A Space Odyssey is, I don't know, you have to be patient watching it, but also, like, I made the mistake, like, I think Faye was away for the week, and a lot of my stories got like this, and I got like super
really high.
Super fucking high, like you know, like high, you're high enough, and then it was like rolled like a fucking giant like cigar joint.
You're talking my language.
We gotta do it, you know, it's Stanley Kubrick, it's, you know. And I remember just being like, there's a bit where it, like, he goes through like the character goes through like a wormhole, and it's like the whole screen is just filled up with like purple and green, yellow and orange, blue and white, like, and it's just like, and then it splits into four, and I'm like, I'm like sitting there watching, like, I'm fucking far too high for this. Like, that is the point where the narrative part of the film kind of ends,
right?
And you're getting into this existential, weird, mental shit. And I was
how long
is it? I'd say 2+. I don't know off the top of my head.
A 2 hour 71 movie is like a 6 hour movie.
No,
these
it's
days.
Not.
It is.
You're crazy.
A 2 hour movie, I mean, this they is, let it fucking breathe.
Yeah. But 70s. This is really, really good.
Okay.
Maybe we'll. You know, I told you I have a bunch of miniseries planned
to making me watch movies that are plus 2 hours long.
Oh well, I don't know about that.
I'm not even gonna know.
Anyway, that for another time. So Mo goes back to Grandpa's, like, he's like, "Will you quit your clowning? I need help here."
"Tell her rump's as big as the queen's and twice as fragrant."
I love that delivery. And then he comes back in like, are absolutely, positively,
with the spaghetti on the
whatever it is, escargot or soup, the dumbest haunted love test that I have ever met.
I love that.
Betty just walks in. The whole thing where he's like, "I gotta come clean with you. I ain't too good with talking to women. And I really wanted to do you. So I brought along the love test that helped me. As you may have guessed, it's inhabited by the ghost of my friend's dead father. And like her being, again, killing it, being like, why, you conniving, devious, monstrous, yeah, despicable, sweet little angel.
She...
I can't do that.
No, go on.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah, I lost it at the end.
Yeah.
She must have done like Animaniacs or
Looney Tunes.
Or not Looney Tunes, like Tiny Tunes.
I think like she's like... She's up there with like Tara Strong or one of these, you know. Yeah.
So it was when she was talking about despicable.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, I've definitely heard that.
I remember in one of the later, when I decided, when I moved back from Australia and I was like, I have no job and no prospects. No, but I was like, I was just like downloading stuff and like, I'd be getting high and staying up late and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the, I think it was season 22 and 23 of The Simpsons.
Wow.
And they're not good, but they're, you know, you just watched them, whatever.
Yeah, something.
But there was one point, there was a voice being used, like a computer voice or something, and Homer goes, huh, that sounds like Tress MacNeille.
Huh.
And I was like, huh, that's weird. Yeah. And it's like, are they just giving her a shout out because she, at this point in the industry, she's such a legend?
Huh.
You know, that.
Interesting.
But like, she's like on Futurama loads, like.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
great voice. Just such an appreciation.
Futurama is such an underrated show, though, as well. Like, I know you were never a fan.
No, it was still...
Why
was Futurama good and The Simpsons wasn't at that time, then? You know what I mean?
It was different, though. That was the thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Because it was sci-fi, you could...
Disenchantment's bad again, you know?
Yeah, but Disenchantment is... trying to be like really serialized or whatever, where Futurama was episode of the week and occasionally they would be like, remember that time two seasons ago? And you're like, yeah, I do remember, but that's fine. But whereas Disenchantment is like this big mythos and, you know, they're there's all this kind of shit that they're trying to force down your neck that like...
It's shite. Can you agree with me now that it's shite?
I watched the first season. I thought it was okay. I didn't make it past... episode one of the second season.
Right.
Like, I just checked out completely. Like,
and you're here for you're looking for.
I would give them a chance.
Like,
yeah, and there's a lot of I mentioned this on the start, but like, I don't know if you noticed on Disney Plus that they've added a bunch of new shows to Star. So they've added a show called The Great North,
right?
Which is probably by Lauren Bouchard from Bob's Burgers. Because the animation is very similar.
Right.
They're living in Alaska, I think, is the premise. Nick Offerman is the voice of the dad. Hey. So, like,
that's good.
Yeah. It's good. First episode is good.
They've got Get Back coming in the next couple.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, I fucking
saw. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
25th of November. Can't get here. Fucking Thanksgiving. Can't get here quick enough,
thank
man.
Thank God it's on Disney Plus as well. Like, and it's, what, like, three
even
episodes?
I'm looking at Paul. I'm like, look at him. Oh my God, that beard!
I know.
And then you're
it's
like,
great beard, around
George.
That was when
like,
they
George
all
George leaves. I'm like, George leaves.
Yeah, that was when they all sort of looked about. I always remember one argument from it where they're like, it was like Paul was telling him something about Hey Jude or whatever. I think we should have been Hey Dude.
That's from that terrible fucking Beatles movie. I think it's on Netflix.
What?
Yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And like Ed Sheeran is like, your man is playing Hey Jude. And he's like, one note for the, it should be Hey Dude. And I was sitting there, I went to the cinema with my mother. And I'm sitting there seething. It was, she enjoyed it.
I would actually kind of like to see it for what it is.
Watch it. There's a third act twist that is like
oh, okay. I've seen a bit of it actually.
There's a third act twist that like involves...
Oh, he goes to John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
Robert Carlyle playing John Lennon, and I'm like...
But there was a thing in the actual Get Back sessions where he's like, he's saying to George, and George is like getting annoyed. And because Paul's like, oh, you know, it's complicated. And George is like, it's not complicated. He's like, and Paul's like, I just hear myself annoying you all the time. And it's like, what I'm saying is, lads, should we do it this way? And George is like, yeah, I'll play it that way if you want, or I won't play at all. Whatever it is that'll please you, I'll do it. You know, and all this sort of stuff. So So, like, I know that, like, has a real reputation as being, like, a really tumultuous time. So, I'd be interested to see how...
But that, and, like, I never realised that it was, like, 3 weeks, or was it, like...
They were only in that studio for, like...
Or 6 weeks, or whatever? Yeah. Like, to write, the album, to write 14 tracks, like, they had nothing.
They started in that studio, and they were rehearsing and coming up with the songs in that big... But, like, that's even, like, George and John were saying, it was, like, we'd have to come at, like, 9 a.m, like, no one wants to work at that time, like, you know, for musicians. It was cold all the time and all this sort of stuff, like, so then they packed up and went to the, whatever, Abbey Road or wherever they went and then finished the album.
And, I do love that, like, you know, the whole thing, the story with, like, Abbey Road and how they came back and did that afterwards because they had such a bad time on Let It Be.
And Get Back's been, or...
Let It Be. Yeah, the album.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. This is it's called Get Back, though.
It's called Get Back, but it's about that album. It's about Let It Be.
They've been working on that. Like, that footage has been around since,
but like
the late '60s, and they hadn't.
Nobody been able to remaster it. Yeah. Though. But Peter Jackson is some sort of like
wizard.
Yeah,
for want of a better word.
Yeah, no, but like because he came up with that whole like Weta thing, which is his studio that came up. I don't know if you ever saw that Tintin movie.
No.
Stop motion thing where like Spielberg directed it and like would he went with Jackson's motion capture studio. And like he is a big like visual effects guy, as you can see in Lord of the Rings. Like if you look at the amount of money they put into Schmeagol, Gollum type thing, as opposed to maybe some of the other effects as those movies get on.
Uh-huh.
But like that, he's kind of gone
interesting
headlong into this. So there's no better man, I don't think.
Yeah.
Excuse me, to restore it.
I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to do one on that. Like we'll do it.
100%. Like, but there's also they put on What We Do in the Shadows. The TV series is on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah,
fucking good, man.
Yeah, I've seen it recently. Like
the TV, the movie.
The movie, yeah.
But like the TV show, it's all different characters.
And
it's set in America, so it's set in like these vampires that live on Staten Island. And there's a guy. I'm pretty sure he's been in The Office or something. You know his face. You see him. He's got a bald guy with glasses. So there's three traditional vampires, and then there's like an energy vampire who's a guy who works in an office, and basically he'll talk to you, be like, and you know something about that particular shade of gray, but like when he's drained them, you see him go like a little like his little fangs come down or whatever, or like the one I watched one there, it was like they're like, we're going to a superb owl party. And he's like, I keep telling them it's a Super Bowl party, but they're not listening. And they show up, and it's like the husband and the wife who are hosting are like fighting with each other. And like he's just standing in the hallway. The other three don't have a clue what's going on. And he just has this big grin. His fangs come down. He's feeding off their energy.
I'd like to see that.
And it's like half hour episodes. Okay. Really fucking good. Like,
I'll watch that.
I mean, I've been waiting for them. Because I wasn't sure.
And they're American in it, are they? Or are they Australian?
No, so it's the guys that are in it are the guy from Phone Jacker. Bow, bow, bow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's the main guy. And then the guy from, I don't know if you watched Toast of London or.
No. Oh, I know the guy, though.
Matt Berry.
I know the guy.
Yeah, he's in it. And I watch anything with him in it. Like, he's so fucking good.
Well, I'll put that one on the list.
There's a couple of. They're adding new weekly. Weekly half-hour shows where I go to watch them is Disney Plus. Like I was saying, they have that Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez thing,
which is
very good. Only Murders in the Building.
Oh yeah.
Really good. Great North. What We Do in the Shadows, and there's another thing called Reservation Dogs. I watched the first episode. Very good.
Sorry, you had your opportunity. I know, for but this
intro. We finished up with Love Manic Grandpa.
Okay. I'm going to fly through the last one, to be honest, because...
I don't know.
I didn't particularly care for the last one this time around.
I love it. I love it.
I tell you what I did like, when Troy McClure is like, I'm talking with the curator of the Museum of TV and Television, Mr. John Winslow. he just turns around.
And the whole thing where he's like, in our final spin-off, the Simpson family finally gets the chance to show off their full range of talent. Unfortunately, one family member didn't want that chance and refused to participate.
I love that touch.
But thanks to some creative casting, you won't even notice. Show us what you got, TV. And I will say, and this episode was so much better for me this time around, because I hadn't seen it in forever, and I loved the Behind the Laughter episode. I think at one point in my life, that was my favorite episode, just because I was big into meta comedy and like that whole, you know, behind the scenes kind of, like, I was big into my, and I still am, although I haven't listened to one in a long time, commentaries. So like having like talking heads of people
talking,
like,
about a show that you like.
Exactly. Yeah, like, so the idea of doing that I thought was genius, and then the idea of like how one holdout of the cast I fucking love
the fact that it's Lisa as well. Like, you'd expect so, like, much Homer sense. Or Bart.
No, but it
or
makes so
like
much
that.
Sense that it's Lisa. She's like, I'm not arsed or whatever. And like, I love how it's like Kent Brockman, like, live from Radio City Music Room in downtown Springfield, it's the Simpson Family Smile Time Variety Hour, featuring the Waylon Smithers Dancers and the Springfield Baggy Pants Players. Now, the family that doesn't know the meaning of the word canceled the Simpsons. And I just, I love it. I love the song, like,
yeah, and the fact that they make Lisa, like, you know, they're not even keeping her character. It's like, sophomore prom queen, 5 years running.
This is the thing that, like, people talk about Family Guy ripping off The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm like, 100%. Remember, like, the one where Meg, it was the reality TV show, and Meg leaves, and then it's like they bring in, like, the hot version of Meg.
Right.
And it's like, big voluptuous breasts like these. That it was like, I was like, well, that's a take on this.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Literally,
like,
just did that. Yeah.
I love the whole thing, the roll call. Like, remember me, my name is Marge, TV mom whose hair is large. Step back, mom, it's Bart's turn now. Eat my shorts, don't have a cow. It's like, I'm Lisa, peppy, blonde and stunning, sophomore prom cure, 5 years running. Go Lisa.
That's Lisa.
Yeah. Just how, like, bad it is. Like, I'm hiding from the ghost.
So you said we were having a special ghost tonight.
I said a special guest tonight.
Mr. Tim Conway.
What's Tim Conway?
Oh, about 120 pounds.
And that's generous. He's being generous there, like, as well.
That's it from him. Then he goes off stage.
Yeah. And then they get into, like, the beaver sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all been busy as beavers around here. And then, of course,
like, the whole premise of this is them looking at camera like, it's like, you know, how was...
But it's like a Partridge Family type thing or whatever like that.
How was your day at the plant? It's not a plant, Marge. It's a tree.
And I've almost chewed through it.
Yeah.
Or like Bart coming home and, like, he's just like, he's looking at the crowd being like, hey, everybody, you know, like...
Someone close the damn door.
That's where we live. A damn. And like, Maggie's got her first tooth. And like, such a great touch of her being like,
yeah.
And then everybody's like, ah. And then she kind of like gets like a worried look on her face, like, oh. And I was like, perfect. Like,
what was that from? What was the worried look all about?
Like, so the whole Maggie up, it's like her first tooth.
And oh,
like,
because everyone's gone.
Yeah, like she gets like a weird, like a baby's reaction to like noise, and then they're like, oh.
I didn't even pick up on that.
And then Tim Conway is the skunk. They all collapse, you know, like,
I thought the candy song was good after that, where they're...
Well, I love, first of all, I was like, yar, someone needs to be keelhauled for that last sketch.
All these little like things.
Pranker,
like,
pranker. Yeah. And then you get the candy.
I love like that the waiter is just throwing their hats from the background.
I love that, like, candy, sweet, sweet candy.
Like, this is around the time where it really goes off the wall, you know? Like,
I want candy.
I never realized, this was the first episode where I realized how, like, for want of a better word, chubby Bart was. You know what I mean?
A little pouch? Like,
a little belly on him. Like.
And then it's like the peppermint twist. Like, it's really, like, psychedelic. Like, and I love it. Like,
it's a proper, like, it's a proper, like, 60s sort of, like, variety show.
It's like something they would have watched in that 70s show, a rerun of, like, you know.
And these little things, you know, like, I think that I shall... never see my cataracts are blinding me and all these little things.
Crack that whip. Licorice whip. I said, whip it. Licorice whip it, like the Waylon Smithers dancing. I feel like this is like they liked what they had of Smithers in the like chili cook-off episode.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I wouldn't...
Give me more of that.
I wouldn't tonk the tonk if I couldn't honk the honk. And it's like, we'll put him in here as well. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it works.
Yeah, and then I love when they finish. It's like, we walk in. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, like they're like...
So out of breath.
Yeah.
Candy. And then like, is it the next bit they're in the bed then? Yeah. All together? Like, I just love, I mean, like, they have the whole, you know, spiel in the bed, and Tim Conway like, jumps in.
It's like, I'm right here. Fox wouldn't put up a decent hotel room.
And then the whole, like, they're back and forth in marriage, like, we're like this all the time.
But, like, even him be like, he's just kidding. We'd like to thank the good people at Fox and the good people at Budget Lodge.
Budget Lodge. And what I like as well is, like, the fact that as soon as the camera zooms out,
yeah,
you see Tim Conway just immediately gets out and goes off stage. And the still Simpsons fighting. They're like, still yeah. fighting, yeah.
And then you get like McClure being at the end. He's like, how do you keep The Simpsons fresh and funny after 8 long years? I was like, yeah, how do you? Yeah. You know?
It's funny that they're actually sort of
They know. Yeah. Like, and it's like, what's on tap for season 9? Like, magic powers.
Yeah.
Wedding after wedding after wedding. And did somebody say long lost triplets?
Yeah. I remember getting so excited.
Long lost triplets. I was like, wow.
I was like, oh, cool. Look what's coming.
And it's like, so join America's favorite TV family and a tiny green space alien that named Osmodiar that only Homer can see on Fox this fall. It'll be out of this world. Right, Asmodiar?
Damn straight, Troy, my man.
And then the two of them being like, good night, America.
Very good.
I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching it. A lot of fun talking about it.
Well, listen, on that note, should we get into ratings?
Please. No. Damn straight, Andy.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
I'm going to tell you what I thought of it first.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it in order. I thought the best one was Wiggum, then Mo, then The Smile Time.
Yeah, variety. You're right. I think
I loved the Wiggum one. I liked the Mo one, and I kind of liked the.
Could you see where they were going?
I could see it way more this time than I could before. Like what? Like I obviously hadn't seen it in a long time because I. Yeah, like I said, I was completely like I was getting it way more and getting the parody aspect way more than I did. If I'm giving an MVP, I'm going to give it to Wiggum.
Yeah.
Now a rating though, that's the question. I'm going to give it an 8.
Just an 8.
8.0. That's like your 9 though. You know?
No, it's not that big a jump. I agree with what you're saying. I'm just a little bit higher on it. I think they get the bad writing so good.
Yeah.
Like
that's hard to do. Yeah.
Like I remember sitting there watching it and being like, man, it's so impressive how good they are at writing terribly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah, they're
hitting every trope. You know,
yeah.
They get a wide spectrum of, you know, okay, the sitcom they went for was 60s, 70s, whatever, maybe even 50s. The thing they went for was like 80s, 90s, Nash Bridges, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, you know, Partridge Family, which is probably 60s. I think they do them all excellently. I don't know if any show could do them better if you were doing a spoof of it. Like, you know, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to do it.
Because it's not... It's not over the top.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're like, kind of confused at times.
Yeah,
you're
it's like, so well done.
Yeah.
That
you're like, what? Wait, what? Like,
yeah.
Well, that's the gag.
I think other shows would have dipped into it and not committed a full episode to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like whereas there's no attempt to be...
like
Simpsons. Yeah. There's no attempt, even within those shows, those three shows, there's no attempt to bring a witty, regular kind of...
Yeah.
You know, style to the writing. It is very much hackneyed. It is very much on the nose, and you're very much like that's the joke, and that's why it's funny. I agree with you in that order that it's, you know, I love the Wiggum one. I I actually love the Mo one as well. It's so quick, but it's so
Way quicker than I remember.
And I love the third one as well. Like, just for the absolute like balls to the wall weirdness of it. Like, but I do think it goes in, you know,
first, second, order. Third.
Yeah.
Can I push you for an MVP?
I'm gonna give it to Daddy. Charles Daddy. Right. And I didn't even look up who did his voice.
It was one of those I mentioned three. It's by the process of elimination. I'll tell you now who does Charles Daddy. Oh shit. Hold on, I'll get there before you.
Okay. Well, my rating is going to be an 8.8.
Ooh. Okay.
Just because it's all like there's no plot.
Gaylord Sartain.
Amazing. Gaylord Sartain, amazing.
Not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. What are you giving it? An 8.8?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it kind of falls down for points of like, there is as good at skewering, you know, each part is. That's what it is. Like, there's no more there.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean.
So, but... still, thoroughly enjoyed it. What was the one we had last week?
Homer's Enemy.
Oh yeah, two good ones in a row.
And the next one I recall is pretty good too. What a way to finish it up. Should we get our plugs in, Terry?
Please.
Well, you can find us on Instagram. I'm just going to say Instagram. We're on Twitter too. I put it in H Podcast. We put up new episodes every week there. On Instagram, we have a link in our bio. You can find links to everything we do, some video podcasts, latest episodes, merch. Don't order it.
Do order it. Don't mind this guy. And Andy will get it out here.
I'll get it.
I put this jaw out like this.
Okay. All right. Order merch if you want. It's there.
Please do.
And you'll find a link to our Patreon. Now, that I can definitely recommend you partake in.
So, on the Patreon at the moment, we are doing a What's So Great About Will Smith. Now, in order to get access to our bonus content behind the paywall there, you need to give us a lovely payment of $5 or €4.15. Of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
So at the moment, what's going on there is for the next few weeks, it's our Will Smith mini-series. Andy, what's it called?
Big Willie's Flops.
There it is.
We're only doing his bad movies.
Yeah. So we're doing What's So Great About Will Smith? Can he elevate the bad movies? Coming up next is Suicide Squad. So we've already done Gemini Man and we've done After Earth.
And Bright.
Oh, I forgot about Bright. How could I forget?
Jesus. I was only talking to Tony yesterday. He's like, I thought that was brilliant, Bright.
He did?
Yeah. I didn't like it at all.
Oh, Tony. So we've also done miniseries on What's So Great About Marvel Cinematic Universe, What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, and What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. So aside from our What's So Great About stuff, there's also a bunch of bonus episodes where you get access to, you know, a bunch of top fives. We just released on the main feed last week, you might have seen it, our top five acting performances of all time. We've done top five Beatles songs. We've done top five...
I've done about a dozen top five different things. Top five album openers. Top five...
That's a good one. Top five album openers is a good one.
That was good. That was very good. Top five needle drops in movies where the music elevates the scene. Load them. And I've also made Terry a bunch of playlists. Emo ones, metal ones, rap ones. Terry's made me... trying to get me into the Divine Comedy.
Hey, remember that one? That was a good one.
So a lot of those.
And there's a wide variety of topics. There's like user requests.
Essentially, we try to push our tastes on each other for a lot of.
And like patrons, you know, they send us in, you know, top five stand-up comedies specials was one of them.
The Will Smith thing that we're doing was a Patreon suggestion.
Patron
suggestion. Yeah.
So, if you can't afford the $5 a month, I know it's tough. It is. Pandemic, endemic, whatever they want to call it.
Endemic.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. If it's,
they do, it's ending?
If they're coming out of the pandemic phase, you're going into the endemic phase. But I don't know if we're coming out of the pandemic phase yet. Yeah, I know, huh?
Oh, yeah. Just making it up as they go along.
Pretty much.
Yeah, if they can't do that, Terry, what can they do?
You can give me... do me a favor and get on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you put a review. Now, Andy, there was three segments in...
Okay, easy, but sure.
I joked. So, I don't want a three-star review. I want you to add two on top of that and give me a five-star review. It really helps grow the podcast, get some new ears listening to us. And look... Hey. Tell a friend. How about that?
Tell a friend.
Yeah. Tag us. Tag us on your socials, you know?
Yeah.
Always helps. Always helps. You know, you help us out. We're giving all this content for free. You know? You help us out. How about that?
How about that, huh?
I'm a beer and a half in. I'm, you know...
I'm feeling loose.
Feeling surly. But yeah.
Sorry, surly.
shut up. So you could really be helping us do that. And of course, if you made it this far... When you're doing the Lord's work, I think Andy has something to say to you.
Folks, I've known you for a long time, and there's nothing. I guess the only thing left me to say is I love you,
and I like you. Of course, you get the big L from me when you subscribe to the Patreon.
And on that note, goodbye.
Remember me? My name is Marge, TV Mom, whose hair is large.
Step back, Mom. It's Bart's turn now. Eat my shorts, don't have a cow.
I'm Lisa, peppy, blonde, and stunning. Sophomore prom queen,